In the name of Jesus, amen. It's more than 31 years ago that I first came to New York City to live, having been called to St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Tremont in the Bronx. The kosher butchers that I understand were to be found on either side of the Grand Concourse in earlier decades had gone. However, there were still a few remaining pork stores. The name struck me as odd, and the other name for it was equally strange to my Midwestern ears, and that was when I heard them called the Christian butchers. I had not, before I came to New York City, understood that Christian meant not Jewish, or certainly treif, not kosher. They were, even in their last days, and it wasn't many years after I came to the Bronx, that even those had disappeared, as it is continuously more and more difficult to find a real butcher to provide hand-cut roasts and other and handmade sausages and so on. But it was true that when you went to the pork store up just below Fordham Road, that if he did not know you well, you would be slow in being served. And Maury would put his thumb on the scales when it was time to measure out the bacon. It was very good bacon. It was worth having a bit of his thumb in the calculation of the price. But there it was. I don't know how he did it. It seemed like his hands were on the counter at his waist or someplace, but his thumb was definitely on that scale. And I remember being deeply vexed when one of the orange juice companies started making the slightly taller than a half-gallon containers, though slightly narrower. And though I confess I was never a master of the calculus, I was pretty good at arithmetic. But trying to figure out the per ounce price of a 64-ounce carton of orange juice versus a 59-ounce carton of orange juice made me crazy. I couldn't master it, and I didn't want to carry a calculator with me. That would be admitting a grave defeat. And I suppose it really didn't matter that much, but it seemed important to me to know what the just measure was. And heaven knows that if you're setting out to buy a health insurance policy to try and figure out how one compares with the other over against the premium you must pay, I don't know that any of us would have any hair left at all as we tore it out trying to make those calculations. So when Prophet Amos preaches against those who make the ephah small and the shekel great, we know he's on to something. The trade that goes on as we exchange our money or our labor for the products we need and the things that we want only work if there is a standard measurement against which we can compare the prices that we settle on. And so it is a grave issue. When the scales are not balanced justly. The prophet says God will not forget those who defraud their neighbors by trimming the edges a little closer than they admit to, by charging for more than is actually given in products or services. It would not be a wholesome society that would overlook fraud and dishonesty in the normal parts of life. We would not want gas stations setting their pumps to the wrong measure when they pump fuel into our automobiles, nor do we happily agree to ride in a taxi that has its meter set askew. We want a given measure to be that measure. It's only fair, it's only just. And so when Jesus tells the parable of the dishonest steward, we find it vexing to hear what side he is on, don't we? It's very strange that he has the master. Now, Jesus doesn't actually commend the servant in his own voice, but clearly the master is speaking on the divine side of the equation in commending the dishonest steward. It's a problem, particularly for those who look to the doctrines of the church and to the scriptures as a guidebook for moral life. I will emphasize that people who do that are not wrong. There is in the scriptures, in many, many parts of the scriptures, excellent ethical formation, superb insight into how we must restrain our behaviors of all kinds in order that we may live together orderly, peaceably, and in accord with God's will that we should love our neighbors. For love includes honest dealings. But Jesus raises this odd observation about the sons of light, the children of the kingdom of God, being rather foolish in comparison with the children of this world in conducting their affairs. They don't look for the angles. I wonder if that's always true. The children of light, cloaked in piety, will sometimes forget to take a good hard look at the world around them. And sometimes the strategies and the plans don't take account of the evil that lurks even in the customary little places of interconnectedness of daily life. Be devout, yes, Jesus would have us understand, but don't blind yourselves to the less than devout behaviors of your neighbors. Now, I'm sure that you have heard, I know I have, I've even preached it myself, that in order to make sure that we don't compromise the value of Scripture in promoting honesty, goodness, and fairness, some explanation of this parable that includes, well, the steward was only taking his own commission and deducting it. All right, that's not a bad way to think about it. But it's also not entirely in accord with the word of St. Luke in describing him as a dishonest steward. What is it that Jesus is getting at in putting forward this great example? Sorry, it's not great. A little example of dishonesty. I think that in order to comprehend that, we must understand that Jesus is speaking about himself almost always. Certainly in the Gospel of Luke, there is emphasis on the extraordinary thing that Jesus had come to do. It is not for nothing that St. Luke traveled with St. Paul on some of his missionary journeys and had heard that great apostle preach about the thing that is beyond ethics and morality. Looking to Scripture, looking to the church for instruction in being good is a fine thing to do. But it isn't the gospel. The gospel is speaking a completely different language from that of be good, for whatever reasons are put forward for goodness. The gospel is about a profound unfairness. It's an unfairness that is revealed when sinners are forgiven. When Christ himself presents himself as the payment to ransom us from the evil one. Not because we deserve it, not because we are fine, honest, upstanding, always loving, always insightful characters, but precisely because we are not. We are dishonest. We are angry and greedy and lustful and covetous. And we are careless of the relationships, even with those that God has placed us closest to. If we were not, we would not need forgiveness in order to continue our lives in the presence of God. And so I think that as Jesus tells about the steward that is unjust, unhonest in arranging his affairs when it comes to the critical point, I think he's telling us something about himself. In the day of judgment, it won't be Maury the butcher's thumb on the balance. It will be the full weight of our Lord Jesus Christ, his suffering and his death, thrown into the balance so that we may be counted as righteous who are not righteous. The greatest unfaithfulness, the greatest dishonesty, is the way our Lord Jesus cheats the just punishment of all of our petty and large evils. All of our carelessness, thoughtlessness, hurtfulness, all that we do to one another that justly moves God to wrath at our failure to be holy as he is holy. And yet, on the day of judgment, we can be bold in knowing that the scales will not be just. They are in our favor because the one who only is righteous has given his righteousness, his life, his place as the only Son of God to us. Scriptures are full of teaching about what is good, the commandments we must follow or face God's wrath. But thank God that there is more there, and the more is the good news that we who have not been righteous are counted that way because our Lord Jesus tips the scales. Thanks be to God that God's righteousness is tempered, even overwhelmed by God's mercy, in which we live and in which we face the future with great hope. And to God be glory and praise, to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, now and throughout ages of ages. Amen.